I mean, what are the foreskins of our heart? What are the things that we need to cut away? What exists in our lives that cause our heart to harden? Welcome to the Living with Synergy podcast. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Colby Cullum. We are currently in a series called Romans Galatians, Obtaining and Living in Righteousness with God. Last week, I talked about the conflict between Jews and Gentiles. And we also talked about how God was for the whole human race, which are Gentiles, and why and how He chose to make a covenant with a single bloodline, now called the Jews. So then there wasn't one single Gentile race. By covenant, there's now Gentiles and Jews. And for generations, God singled out the Jews, and the covenant included a law unique for the Jews to follow. This law was full of ceremonial, civil, judicial, worship, dietary, and family-related regulations, customs, and commandments and statutes. But because of Israel's unfaithfulness throughout those generations, like through them breaking the law and breaking their end of the covenant, God has been free to open back up to the rest of the world. He sovereignly sent Jesus through the Jewish line, and through Jesus has made a new covenant for both Jews and Gentiles. He did not write a new law on stones like he did with the first, but by his Spirit will write it on our hearts and in our minds. In fact, Jeremiah prophesies it. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. You know, the book of Hebrews gives amazing clarity to why and how God made a new covenant for the whole human race through Jesus. Jesus was the mediator of this new covenant God is making with everyone. In fact, there are two passages in Hebrews that quote this passage directly from Jeremiah. Hebrews 8, verse 1 says, Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Skip down to verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says a new covenant, He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Wow. And again, he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Let me interject here just real quick. You know, what he's talking about here is how burnt offerings and sacrifices, I mean, just complete detailed sacrifices as to what to sacrifice, as to how to sacrifice, as to when to sacrifice, these were instituted in the laws of Israel as a remedy, if you will, for sin. So if someone sinned and they were repenting of their sin, well, then they would, in their repentance, have to make a sacrifice as a remedy for it. And that's what he's talking about here. And so he continues in verse 10. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And this is exactly why we are not expected to keep the written law, because God, by Jesus, through the Spirit, has written it on our hearts and on our minds. And we can, by nature, keep and obey God's standards because of that. Let me repeat Paul in what he said in Romans chapter 2, verse 12. He says, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now remember that God called out the Jews from the Gentiles, but a real Jew who God really calls out is not a bloodline. It's not outward. It's a change of heart. As we continue our reading in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Wow, man. This is amazing. So the circumcision that really matters is circumcising the heart. It's cleansing, cutting away the filthy pieces of the soul. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. That's why God says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners who dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 28 says, "Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Man, that's God's cry. He wants a people whose hearts are right, who have such a heart that fears him and always keeps his commandments. That's why God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth and all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all people, as it is to this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." That's an awesome passage. I mean, what are the foreskins of our heart? What are the things that we need to cut away? What exists in our lives that cause our heart to harden? I'm reminded of Jesus' parable of the good soil. Here, pay attention to the parable. Notice why it's difficult for people to receive from and understand Jesus, and pay attention to the interpretation of the parable. Notice this, Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, I speak to them in parables because in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So my question is, what are the things that make the soil of your heart cloddy? Like, what are the weeds and the rocks that prevent your heart from being receptive and expected to receive from God? What causes the soil to become like asphalt, like the wayside? The heart dulls when you fill it with cares and riches and stuff and things of the world. They can choke God out of your life like thorns in good soil. The heart dulls when you don't hold fast to God, when you lose heart once tribulations and persecutions come to you. It says in Hebrews 3, verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." See, sin dulls the heart and hardens the heart, which in turn closes our eyes and ears from hearing and seeing the truth. That's why Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1, "Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. And if any of you are driven out of the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it again. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live." Man, I love this. Yes, we are to circumcise our heart to follow the Lord. But thank God, he's eager and willing and right there to actively work in us. He's the surgeon. He's the one who circumcises the heart and enables us to love him with all of our heart and soul. He writes his laws in our heart and our mind. He engraves his ways into our conscience. He not only cuts away the foreskin of the heart, but he gives us a new heart entirely. I love what Ezekiel 11 says in verse 17. "Therefore say, thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel again. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. And then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desires of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. And again in Ezekiel 36, verse 24, it says, For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land again. And then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And one more time in Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Dude, that's the secret. Repentance keeps the heart tender. Repentance breaks up the fallow ground. Repentance takes out the thorns, rakes out the rocks, turns the soil to be good. Repentance cuts away the foreskins of the heart. If we will live in the consistency of fearing the Lord and repenting of any and every little sin that could dull our hearts, then God will consistently work in us, causing us to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments and do them. He enables us to love Him with all of our heart and soul. Praise God! He's put His Spirit within us and has written His law in our minds and on our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for making us born again on the inside. When you saved us, you gave us a new spirit and a new heart. You said that we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, where old things have passed away and all things have become new. You have cleansed us of all unrighteousness, and you've made us brand new. Thank you, Lord, for not only giving us new hearts, not only giving us new purposes and new desires, but Father, you now dwell within us and actively work in us, enabling us by your grace to live and walk in step with you. You have written your laws in our hearts and continually remind us how to live in accordance with those laws. And not only do you remind us, but you walk in step with us. You enable us to live a holy life as you want it to be holy, to live a righteous life as you want it to be righteous, to live a life where we truly can and truly will fear you and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for circumcising, if you will, our heart and cutting out all the filth that we've tolerated and actively allowed into our life. Lord, whatever we've made into our soil, if you will, that's rocky, that's thorny, that's weedy, God, that's hard. God, we ask that the same work of your Spirit just draws those things out to make our heart good for the word and just good for us to be fruitful in every good work so that our life is pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for this new covenant that you've made with both Israel and the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord, for this covenant that you made with me so that I can live in step with you because of what you've done in my heart. I believe it, I receive it, and I'm going to walk in it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What good scriptures we've had today. Hallelujah. God works in you both to will and do according to his good pleasure. He's circumcised your heart. Now you in turn do your discipline to walk in step with him in what he's already made for you. Hallelujah. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.